Hello. Good to talk to you. I wanted to comment on a couple of the discussions that occurred in yesterday's class on the pad, in which I didn't directly participate because I thought it was so very useful for people to have a chance to talk to one another about things. But I do have opinions, and I thought I might be within scope to express them. But I wanted to begin by commenting on the writing process as first essays get first drafted. The discovery that you are making that writing short is hard will be, I think, more beneficial than you know. I was talking to my partner last evening about our ongoing work, and she reminded me of her own experience as an LLM student at Columbia after we began working together. She was attending the law school on a fellowship provided by the Software Freedom Law Center, and she too felt, after all, she was then an experienced lawyer. She'd been practicing in India for more than 4 years as a commercial litigator and had taken her own law degree with the usual pressures that you now understand law school imposes. And when she came to be a graduate student in New York and took my classes, she thought, what is the point of this? I'm writing these little 1,000-word essays and I'm not learning law in the style to which I am accustomed. And what is the point of all of this? And she was reminiscing about that yesterday and saying, you know, turns out that learning to write 1,000-word pieces and to edit them carefully was a lifelong matter of importance. And while, since she has been practicing with me now for more than 12 years, I suppose we might say that she has biases in the direction of the way we work. But we have between us now half a century of experience in litigation practice and other forms of pressured lawyering. And what we're telling you, what I was telling her in 2008, and you are being told by me right this minute in our separated lives, is that writing short is hard, and once you know how to do it, you know something that will give you great power. But it's hard, and some folks say, whether by turning in the draft which demonstrates it, or by writing in the journals, or being in office hours about it, you know, I'm having trouble. I thought I knew what my idea was, and then I tried to outline it, and then I tried, and I'm still not and I know all about that, yes. And the way to do it is to finish the bad first draft, and then together we'll try and figure out what the idea is. But also that what is being demonstrated to you is that writing is a mode of knowing. And when you have to write it in the way that allows no concealment and no bullshit, then in fact, of course, what you have to do is to see your own idea clearly in three dimensions, to be able to rotate it in your hand and to see how it will be seen from different angles, and to communicate in spare and forceful prose what it is and how you came by it and how it might be of use to the reader, who is definitely someone else. That's why the skill is so empowering, and it's why it is so hard, and it's also why writing that way improves your thinking. in a lawyer's way by allowing you to know what your purpose is and to achieve it, because you're lawyers and every expression has a purpose. And you know what that purpose is, and you are serving it in what you say or write. Making things happen in society using words requires discipline, and the discipline it requires is knowing what the right words are and when and how to use them. So, it's time to just write the draft. I have already pointed out that the bad first draft is, from the point of view of maximizing the grade, the right first draft. But even so, as you understand, systems of incentives don't actually work the way people say they work when they're trying to be law professors and take their laptop to the beach and write about incentives as though it were logical. The problem here is that nobody who had a great idea in the 19th century had that idea. The idea we call Darwin and the idea we call Marx and the idea we call Freud are all undermining of this form of narrow rationalism. And the legal realists who at the beginning of the century recast our mode of legal education and law thought in this culture did so by rejecting precisely that idea of what we do when we reason about society and call it law. If we aren't busy understanding the ways in which systems of incentives that are supposedly logical, the way law was supposedly logical 150 years ago, that's not how we get things done in society using words. We get things done in society using words by understanding how people really are. And when you look at your own difficulty in handing in a bad first draft, even though the incentives have carefully been aligned so that you would maximize your own welfare in objective terms by handing in a really bad first draft, you still can't make yourself do it because that's not the way people work. The next thing is that after you hand in the bad first draft, you go on vacation. Of course you go on vacation. No, you don't outline during spring break. What a weird idea that is. And it could only be that such a thing would send itself throughout the population of the students of first year type. The only way that that could happen is because they're in isolation booths and the need to conform to what it is that we're supposed to do is so exceptionally high, which is why you feel at one and the same time so belabored and so rebellious. The problem is that it's really hard to go on vacation when you can't go anywhere. This is why Frank Putnam on state-dependent learning and memory will be so important to you if you let yourself actually read it and think about it. In a way, it would be good vacation reading, except the right vacation reading is not the work. How to go on vacation when you can't go anywhere does actually invoke the usefulness of meditation. I'm not going to deal with mindfulness any more than I'm going to deal with wellness, but I am going to say that in the middle of my first year in law school was when I learned how to meditate by myself with a book. And that practice of knowing how to let the mind roll freely, just open the windows and sit and let the ideas pass through and see that they are there and have them without having to grab them, either to pull them close or to throw them hard away, but just to let them be there, that, though it didn't substitute for 17 years of psychoanalysis, certainly played an important role in my learning how to be myself. And in day 349 of being in my apartment by myself, I know that meditating and sunlight are the things that have made it possible for me and might also help to make it possible for you. So if you were going to do anything over a vacation to make it better to be in law school would not be the way to do it, but learning to meditate might. After we go by the how to be on vacation after turning in a bad first draft, we find ourselves wondering about this idea that it will be normal in the fall. I believe that your conversation there, though it veered occasionally into the kind of paranoia that you can have when there is a thing called the administration and you can't see it, and that under those circumstances, it's very easy to believe that it really works and that it has effectiveness and objective, and particularly since it's run by lawyers with, you know, law professors, but at least the, supposedly the effective kind because they're the dean and such. It is important to understand, as was said on the pad, that the university is going to lose a ton of money. If you want a relative proportion of the ton, its internal forecasting suggests that this year will cost it more than $330 million. Assuming that you would take a more conservative approach to the figure, you would still have $250 million in losses. And yes, for an entity as wealthy and stable and longstanding as Columbia University, absorbing the losses of that kind is possible once a century. But if it goes on for two more years, it will not be possible. So, of course, right now, in the period in which a university recruits the new students who will need to arrive in the fall in order to continue its flow of income, now is the time to say that everything will be normal. It's not a fraudulent claim because it isn't absolutely known to be false. And it isn't a truthful claim because it isn't absolutely known to be true. In fact, it's a shading of probabilities in the direction of the most desirable outcome, which is a thing that human beings, both individually and collectively, are psychically well adapted to do. There are many reasons that this particular variation of hominid primate overspread the planet. As I say in the thing I am currently writing slowly and carefully about everything changing rapidly overnight, we have become, we, the human race, over the last 5 million years since we separated ourselves from our chimp cousins, we have become who we are through our ability to teach one another. And this is right. This is why the hominid primate, Homo sapiens, and its close kin, the brothers and sisters of the Homo neanderthalensis and the Denisovans and the whoever else we haven't recognized as part of the family yet because we haven't found their finger bones, that we have become who we are because we could teach one another. Before and after the development of complex articulate spoken language, let us say about 200,000 years ago, we have been able to teach and learn by example and by precept and by writing, and so we became who we are by Lamarckian cultural evolution, faster and faster and constantly relentless. We have also become who we are because we are optimists. We do have a strong, inherent bias in the direction of the probabilities leading to the most favorable outcomes. Thus, we explore. Thus, we send a little robot object 292 million miles and we land it within 5 meters of our intended spot on Mars and send ourselves video of the whole thing happening. So, it's legitimate to say it will be normal in the fall and you should come to Columbia University, everything will be great. It's a very human thing to do. But as we are lawyers and are aware that being human is the condition which precedes the analysis, which precedes the use of words to make things happen in society, we are aware that this is the kind of optimism which is creedal in nature from the Thurman Arnold point of view and allows us all to face forward towards the sunlit uplands, even if the sunlit uplands is 100-to-1 shot. Consiliently, you can analyze from several different directions and say, epidemiologically, nobody knows what will happen to the virus. Sociologically, nobody knows what will happen to the vaccination program in relation to the speed at which the virus is attempting to escape the vaccine. From a geographical point of view, from an analysis of social action happening in time, New York City is one of the least likely places in the world to have functioning suppression of the community spread of the virus. From the point of view of the analysis of law school, one can say, in response to a question asked on the pad yesterday, that law school is normal when the building is open and there are strangers in it. The network building function of law school, which is half of what it enables you to have a practice based on, the network foundation of law school cannot function unless the building is open and there are strangers in the building. Then, and only then, are the lawyers passing through the Grand Central Station of Columbia Law School in a density of flow which allows you to meet and network into all the forms of law practice that could possibly interest you and to meet the people who will be influential in helping you to understand how to build that practice. Without them, law school is half broken. By definition. The other half, which is also broken, is what gets the attention. What ideas are going into your license through teaching in the narrow sense? What Max Weber calls pedagogy rather than education. Fine. On that half, what we need to say is everybody now acknowledges that Zoom school is broken. And in that sense, although the organization can maintain its creeds, its attitudes, and its habits, it cannot effectively market Zoom school as though it believed in it. From these points of view, overlapping, and there are others we could bring into play as well, we can conclude that there is no assignable probability that law school would be normal, but to the extent that one attempts to bound the probabilities, they're low. Not 50-50, let alone near 100%. But you can say that it is near 100% probable that the university and the law school must speak as though it were near 100% probable that everything would be normal. This you don't want to ignore, you simply don't want to take seriously. You don't ignore it because lawyers don't ignore any of the transcendental nonsense of the law, and they don't ignore any of the performative nonsense of society. They are always watching. Having read Left, you should never pass a three-card Monte game on the street back when you in the future have again a street with three-card Monte guys on it without looking carefully. And every scam phone call you receive in COVID isolation should remind you of the difficulty that the poor swindlers are having making their reach, working all the time up against a blank wall, since all they have is the phone and the epidemic on their side. And yet, of course, they're making money because people want contact. And once people want contact, then some marks want to be taken, and they will be. Romance swindles are up all around the world, as you may have been reading if you are watching the Swindle Beat, which, after reading Left, you should forever be on. We look at everything. We want to see how all of it is done. We want to pick out the gems of unusual technique and splendid luck. And we want to watch the pratfalls of those who thought they knew how to do it. And then, well, trouble ensued. And you certainly want, therefore, to pay attention to what higher education is doing to try to postpone the day when everybody understands that from now on everything will be different. But you don't want to believe. Believing is what we do less. And bringing from multiple perspectives overlapping analyses of what is going on is what we do more. Here you are at spring vacation, and you have learned two really important things. First of all, writing short is really hard. And second, a lawyer's theory of social action exists, and you can have it. Step right up. Write well. Rest good. Talk to you soon.